The psalmist says that God has made Mount Zion his fortress. Does this holy mountain have significance for you and me? Is the righteousness of God attainable? Does God leave his holy mountain to care for his creation? This and more. Good morning and welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO AM 850, the messenger of good news. I'm Pastor Stephen Cholak, Special Ministries Coordinator for Youth Ministry at the LCMS Office of National Mission, your host for today's study of Psalm 48 with Pastor Mark Hawkinson, KFUO's host of Moments of Assurance.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Glad to have you with us.
Good to be alongside. It's nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
And by the way, if I don't get a chance to, many blessings on your work in this area. It's so very vital, so very critical.
Thank you.
So it's just, this is a large facility here, and sometimes you don't get a chance to meet, you know, everybody around.
Exactly.
So.
I work way up in the fourth floor, way in the corner.
Oh, my.
I do long-term serve and event sort of things with young adults, so 18 to 25-year-olds. We're working on a new project called Lutheran Youth Corps. And you can find out more about that if you go to lcms.org/youthcorps, YOUTHCORPS.
Oh, fantastic.
There's lots of stuff there. Great new things happening. So it's good to get down and to meet you, Mark.
Yeah, nice meeting you and a nice young man and young pastor that you are. And,
well, thank you.
It's amazing. The Lord just, as people retire like myself or get to be the age that I am, there are just more people that come to take their place and to keep the ministry going. And it's just encouraging to me to see the people that are coming up and the quality of the individuals and their knowledge and their faith as it's demonstrated so very well.
That's awesome. I don't often get to listen to KFUO while I'm upstairs working in the youth ministry office. Could you tell us a little bit about your show that you host regularly on KFUO?
Well, Moments of Assurance is an hour-long program Monday through Friday. I come in and produce it usually at night as I have other things that I'm doing during the day, although sometimes I'm here during the day as well. Basically, it's scripture, inspiration, music. A little bit of humor, some news items blended in as well. Trivia, scripture trivia, that's in there too. And a little bit about kids. We did talk about them as well in each program. We can call it the Kids Corner. And just a little bit of everything, put it all together, and hopefully it will be a faith-strengthening, a bit of a boost for the midday hour here on Worldwide KFUO. With all the other fine programs, it's definitely a privilege to be able to be here, I'll tell you.
Awesome. Well, it's a privilege for me, too, I'd say. I'm filling in for Pastor Craig D'Onofrio, who's
right.
Doing KFUO Sundays around the country.
Yes, he might be on the beach right now. I don't know. He said he was going to combine business and pleasure.
Exactly. Well, he's from Southern California. And
that's
where he
what
is.
I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Well, today is a special day, Pastor Hawkinson. This is June 25th. June 25th in 1530, the prince is presented
Augsburg Confession.
Yes, presented to Charles
yes.
V, the Augsburg Confession.
Oh, yes.
So we remember that today.
Oh, yes, because as you read the Augsburg Confession, you get crystallized. You know, the doctrine and everything is so enunciated so clearly so that it's understood, and it's a defense, and, you know, it's all right there. So it's appropriate that that be observed today. Indeed.
Exactly. Yes. So we
mm-hmm.
celebrate that. Today we're studying Psalm 48, and you two out there in Radio Land can join us. You can call the studio at 314-821-0850 to join the conversation, or anywhere in the United States at 1-800-730-2727. Before we start our study, would you mind leading us in a word of prayer, Pastor?
I'd be happy to, dear Heavenly Father. Thanks for each listener being tuned in today to Worldwide KFUO. May the message that is so clear as it comes out in Scripture and in the Augsburg Confession as well, may it get out to others through Pastor Steve, through myself, through Buzz here, who is running the board and does such fine work here at Worldwide KFUO, through each individual here at the International Center and here at the radio station and through each listener tuned in. May your message get out to others, because what St. Paul said so long ago is so true. Brethren, the time is short. So, gracious God, let us redeem the time. Buy up every moment to and for your glory. Bless this study of Psalm 48, that the gospel might come out in this rather unique psalm. I pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read the psalm through its entirety, and then I'm going to ask for a little bit of background on the text. This is a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there, anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Number her towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Pastor Hawkinson, could you give us a little background on this text, on this psalm?
Well, the sons of Korah, for example, were descendants of the tribe of Levi. And what they would do, as I discovered from my research, they would sing this as a psalm the second day of the week in the morning, at the time of morning prayer and at the time of evening prayer. They would sing this as a song of victory because they were able to see for themselves Israel's enemies that would come, and they'd take one look at the city of God. Whoa! And at the citadels and the fortresses and the towers, and whoop! And so then there was apparently, as I, you know, study this, a disagreement among themselves that kind of tore them up a bit. And so they were not able to, they came prepared, but they were not able to accomplish what they wanted to do because they two things happened. The fear of the city itself, which was awesome. I mean, the look, I have not been there in person. I have talked to people that have been there, that have led tours. I have seen lots of pictures. I guess you can't really get a full view of the city of Jerusalem except from the north. Just because the way it's laid out. But it is extremely impressive, and especially at this time, the temple was there at the mount. Mount Moriah, which was nearby, which was where the temple was built. It's also where Abraham sacrificed Isaac on Mount Moriah. So here are the people of Israel. What they're doing is, this is a song of victory. A song that recognizes the awesomeness of God, and it's a song of trust. It's a psalm of faith that each Israelite person, first of all, they had their own fathers that, you know, this descended down from one generation to another about the city of Jerusalem and about how the Lord had led the people of Israel successfully, of course, through the Red Sea, and then, you know, how his grace had watched over them during the 40-year wanderings in the wilderness. And all of this came down, and now they are to pass down to another generation the victory that they viewed for themselves when these armies came up against Jerusalem. And so this thing, it just keeps on coming down to the time Jesus from the tribe of Judah, because Genesis 49:10 says the scepter will not depart from Judah. So from Judah comes Jesus, and it's amazing how the Lord protects his people. He protected his people Israel, watched over them, and Jerusalem, the city of God, this was his place. The Ark of the Covenant was there in the temple. The sacrifices were made there in the temple, and then pointing to the ultimate sacrifice, which nobody wants to forget about, and that's Jesus Christ himself, who is the one whose blood has washed away the sins of the world.
Wonderful.
So just a little bit of a background there. But you know, you kind of wonder when they would sing this, what did it sound like? You know, David played the lute and maybe played the harp, and I think it must have been very beautiful.
Very beautiful,
in
yeah.
sound. Yeah. Do you play a musical instrument, Pastor?
I don't, but I love to sing.
Yeah.
And I love to be around music,
good.
And that's
yeah.
really, really awesome.
Yeah, me too. Buzz here. Buzz plays various instruments in the band and also is very good with voice. So this is a very musical KFUO here.
Very cool. You know, as you were speaking, it reminded me how often God chooses to do miraculous things on a mountain. You brought up Abraham sacrificing Isaac
That's
on
right.
Moriah. Same mountain is where he establishes his temple, of
Ten
course.
Commandments, of
the
course.
Ten Commandments yeah. comes on Sinai.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
Jesus
indeed.
is sacrificed on the mount which we call the place of the skull, or Golgotha.
That's right. Yeah, Golgotha, which is just outside of the walls of Jerusalem. Yeah,
right.
Right. So.
And the what the ark rests on the mountains of Ararat.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this mountain imagery over
yes.
and over again. And this yes. Jesus is going to carry us unto the Mount Zion, the perfected mountain.
The real city.
Yeah, the real one.
That you and I have to anticipate someday. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and everything will be just joy, just Jesus, just fantastic. And I think music will be a large part of what we're going to be able to enjoy in eternity.
Very cool. I'm going to read the first three verses, and we'll go through them, see what comes, what pops out at us there.
Okay.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. You think of these armies that come from various directions here, the enemies of Israel. And even the heathen have to admit when they view the citadels and the fortresses as they come upon this great city that, wow, you know, here's the God of Israel, and he is a God to be feared. Even though they don't know the way of salvation, not yet, some may have come into the way of salvation. But the amazing thing, it talks later in the psalm about just as his name is, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. So even to people that do not know his or understand the gospel.
It goes everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Everywhere you look, Psalm 33, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, all the starry host of them, by the breath of his mouth. So he said a word, and there the heavens stood there. You know, that's the amazing thing. And his name, Psalm 14, 1, I know you know that verse, only the fool says in his heart there is no God. So it's in the conscience. Romans chapter 1 talks about that as well, that the heathen, what they do is hold down the truth. They suppress it. It's suppressed down. And really, if the truth be known, they would have to admit that there is a God. And here's a case where these foreign, we're not sure who these armies were. That's why I hesitate to name them, but you know, they admit, it says, the kings assembled, they came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded, and they were in, the word there, panic.
In panic, yeah.
Yeah. They weren't expecting. This is something that they were just totally not prepared for. I think this is just such a beautiful psalm of comfort for God's people, because there certainly is a correlation to the church of today, word and sacrament ministry, and how God protects the new Israel. You know, that we are the new Israel, and Jesus is Israel reduced to one.
Right.
Israel reduced to one. So the Lord watches over his church and protects it. There are invisible citadels. Invisible towers and fortresses, angelic beings, you know, Psalm 91, he will give his angels charge concerning you. So the Lord watches over his people and protects us from what? The devil.
The devil
and everybody who wants to. I don't know about you, but I struggle every day between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh wants to do one thing. The spirit wants to do another.
Well, yesterday we brought up the evil trio, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. And you got it right there.
Yeah.
That struggle of sin and our spirit.
And it's there, and it's all the time. And anybody who says, I don't have that struggle, I have to wonder about them a little bit, because it's a universal struggle. Fortunately, St. Paul wrote, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Just like the sons of Korah here in Psalm 48, we're singing this the second day of the week in the morning time of morning sacrifice and evening sacrifice. God's people today, whether it's I know that my Redeemer lives or whatever, you know, a hymn it might be, it's a psalm of victory.
You can join our discussion today on the Bible study by calling 314-821-0850 or anywhere in the United States at 1-800-730-2727. We're talking with Pastor Mark Hawkinson today. Why don't we talk to Rob in DeSoto, Texas?
Good morning, pastors.
Good morning.
You were speaking about that God spoke the word and things came into being. What amazes me is the mind of God. The mind of God had to have created. When he created, he knew all these different things, and scientists are still puzzling over and trying to figure out how this thing and how what that is.
That's right.
And God just did it. And to me, the mind of God is so awesome that it just humbles. Should humble us as we go about things. I just am totally amazed at how his mind would work to create, and he created it perfectly instead of like it is now.
Oh, that's so true. By the way, where is DeSoto, Texas located? I'm trying to picture that.
It's south of Dallas.
And okay.
It's Bob, not Rob.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's
Bob.
Okay. I probably didn't say it right. But no, we're just south of Dallas, and Cross of Christ is our church, and so we're real happy to be here.
You know, you bring to mind, Bob, Romans chapter 11, where St. Paul wrote, "For who has known the mind of the Lord?"
Mm-hmm.
Or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory. So that's what popped into my mind. It was, you know, there's no way to know the mind. You know, he's beyond anything, any conception that you and I might come up with.
That's just like in Job, when God says, where were you when I did all these things? And you know, the mind of God, it's amazing to me as we humans who are so lowly try to figure out stuff that it doesn't point to God, but so many of our scientists and so on. Oh no, there's no God. We'll figure this out. We'll figure it out. I don't think so.
Well, science, and I've been listening. There are some wonderful programs on KFUO that talk about science and the Bible, and they're not mutually exclusive.
No, they're not.
For sure.
But,
yeah.
But we have very many scientists who are good Christians who believe in everything that the scriptures say, but we also have those who deny it.
That's right. Well, I appreciate your comments, and thanks very much for calling.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to really emphasize the mind of God is awesome.
Yes. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways.
Right.
This expansiveness,
yeah.
Yes, of our God. The fact that we are a creature. He is the creator.
Yeah.
Who is this God but the Almighty? Thanks for calling, Bob. I was in DeSoto a couple years ago when I was still in seminary. We toured the Cantorai, which is the singing choir of Concordia Theological Seminary.
Beautiful.
And we stayed our first night in DeSoto for that tour. It was a great place to sing.
I got something.
Did you not come to Cross of Christ then?
I'm not sure. That's what I think. That's where I think we were, but.
That could be, because we've had some of the choirs from the seminary and from different schools and stuff. Concordia Seward has sent theirs down a couple of times, and so we enjoy those. So the, those guys are awesome, or the choirs are awesome. They're really really good.
Yeah, the Contrari, they just do a fabulous job.
They, I just looked you up. I just looked you up on the internet, and yes, that is exactly where we sang.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I kind of wondered if that was where you sang. The church itself has got some good acoustics now. We didn't have very good acoustics to begin with. We put that pipe organ in, and the guy said, "Oh, you got to do something about the acoustics in here." So then we tore out the floor and did all stuff, and now we've really got good acoustics in there.
Fabulous. I will say one thing about Texas, Bob. Those people, they love their state. I did my vicarage down in Austin, Texas. First thing they did is they said, "Are you going to be one of us or not?" I said, "What do you mean by that?" And they said, "Well, look at your license plate. You know, it says Kentucky on it," which is my home state at that time. And they said, "If you're going to be a Texan, you're going to have to change that." So I had to have my license change and everything. And I kept Texas license. I was so proud of it. I kept Texas plates on through my SEM4 year. And wow. To my first parish call, and then of course I had to change them again. So you know, kudos to you Texans. You love your state there, that's for sure.
Well, we came here 35 years ago from St. Louis. That's where we came from, and it amazed me how many of the guys around the country would call me, who are former Texans, would call me and say, when are you gonna move, when are you gonna get out of there so we can come to Dallas? And I'd say, I'm not going anyplace real soon. And they say, "Oh, that's too bad. You know, I'm a former Texan. I got to go back to Texas." That's just the way the Texans are.
Isn't that amazing? Wow!
It's amazing that, because I've been here 35 years, and now I'm beginning to feel like a Texan.
Fabulous.
We'll see you later.
Great to have you on the show, Bob.
Thank you, sir.
Let's add the next couple verses here before our break. "For behold, the kings assembled, they came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic, they took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there, anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever." You know, I read this, and then I'm thinking about Charles V standing there, trembling as his princes refused to give up the confession that the Lutherans had written for them.
They had what we call spiritual guts, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, exactly.
And gumption. But it didn't come from inside of them. I believe the Holy Spirit, working through the Word, placed that conviction there and the willingness to stand up for what's right.
Well, the same way that Peter stood and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the
That's
living
right.
God."
Yeah.
Jesus says, not you, not flesh and blood revealed this to you, but my
Father
in
heaven, right, has revealed that. Exactly. So I think the day may come when we may have our backs against the wall. Terrorism, everything taking over in various places. You never know. Maybe not in our lifetime, but sooner or later, I mean, persons will have to be able to stand up for their convictions just like they did at the time of Charles V and the princes and everything.
And so the kings throughout the world continue to have a place, or they play a part in this discussion of faith, in this battle of faith. You talked about it possibly coming here, but we read in the news where it is happening all over the world.
It is. It's sobering, to say the least, as you tune in to whatever MSNBC or Fox News or whatever, you know, whomever you listen to. You think, well, what next? Well, where are they going to get to next? And what should be the U.S.'s response? That's always very difficult, and I'm not in a position to give a wise answer about that because I haven't studied all the sides there, so I don't know what the response should be. So, but it's very controversial.
Well, and we have this wonderful thing of freedom of religion here in the United States, which isn't necessarily common throughout all of the world.
No, it isn't. That's why
uniqueness.
So many people want to come here that they're able to get that and enjoy it. Right.
There is a word in here that popped out at me. Tarshish.
Yeah.
And we learn about this in a number of other places. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that word and why that comes up here on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Bible study on listener-supported KFUO AM 850. You can call us and join that discussion, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Stay with us.
This is Craig D'Onofrio, Program Director of Worldwide KFUO, with some news for you. On July 7th, Faith and Family will be moving to 10 a.m. The Bible Study, with a new name and new host, will be moving to 11. In August, we're excited to have Pastor William Whedon join the lineup. This new Bible Study program will be called Thy Strong Word. New times, even better radio than ever before. Faith and Family at 10, Thy Strong Word at 11 on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Have you ever thought about becoming a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor? There are plenty of reasons to do so. Perhaps a birthday, an anniversary, celebration of a baptism, confirmation, graduation, any event. It's easy. Just call Mary or Joni at 1-800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524. And become a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor today.
Hi, I'm Andy Bates. Join me for the next Faith and Family, where we'll talk with experts and everyday people about topics pertinent to faithful family life. Listen to Faith and Family Live weekdays at 11 on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Good morning and welcome back to the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO AM 850, the worldwide messenger of good news. We're studying this morning Psalm 48 with Pastor Mark Hawkinson. And we just started talking a little bit about how the kings tremble and how the east wind shatters the ships of Tarshish.
Yes.
And that word
indeed
popped out at me, you know, this is where Jonah wants to flee in that prophetic book as well. So any thoughts there, Pastor?
Well, that's an area of Phoenicia, we think. But the ships of Tarshish were very strongly constructed to withstand that blowing east wind that would pop up. And this is just simply the psalmist's way of saying, hey, you know, God can break those ships up, no problem. And it brought to mind a time when they themselves had, when Jehoshaphat, who was king there, had tried to take a trip to Ophir. I think it's O-P-H-I-R, Ophir, and he used ships of Tarshish. He wanted to get some gold, and the scripture says in Kings, and they were no more. In other words, God destroyed them.
Ugh.
And maybe a little bit of a lesson to the children of Israel regarding the ships of Tarshish, said, don't become too proud, you know, and stay humble. But at any rate, these ships were very, as I mentioned, very tough, and we're supposed to withstand hurricane-like winds, like that east wind.
Do you think this is why Jonah picked Tarshish? Because that he thought maybe that ship would be so tough that he could get there?
Very well could be.
I never thought
indeed
of that. But
that very well could be. I'm looking forward to meeting Jonah someday. Hopefully
me too.
We'll be able to ask him a few questions. What was it like in the belly of that sea monster?
Exactly.
That fish. Describe it, please. And the Lord watched over him, and he watches over his people today, and he is to be revered. You know, the scriptures do say it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of Almighty God. Well, of course, not for the Christian. There's where the safety net is in Jesus Christ, that he has, his blood has washed away all of our sins, and our sins are forgiven. And because of that, we know by faith that we have everlasting life. So it's not a dreadful thing. When Jesus comes again, it's a wonderful thing. You know, it's a glorious glorious thing to anticipate. And every time a person goes to Holy Communion, for example, you're getting kind of an hors d'oeuvre of eternity. You're getting a little bit of what it's going to be like to be able to see the Lord face to face, which personally, you get to be my age and you realize death is not all that far away. And you know, you battle a disease like I am as well. I've got, you know, some challenges there. And, you know, the brevity of life, you know, doing okay, though, but I mean, the brevity of life is such that, you know, at your age, you don't think about it as much. I didn't, you know, when I was young at your age. But you get older and you just start to look forward. What is it going to be like to see Jesus? What is it going to be like to be in heaven? Those questions are mulled over in one's mind. And you think of that, the awesomeness of Almighty God here, that what he's able to do, there's nothing he can't do. And as Bob, who called in from Texas there, so aptly pointed out, that who can know the mind of the Lord, you know, and that he just speaks a word and there they are, the heavens.
Well, you know, we're so apt to listen to the world and to be scared of death. And we, the church, have a message that death really is for us that portal to the eternity with our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jesus said, I'm the door.
I'm the door, yeah. And, you know, so often we would concentrate on, oh, I want to get to heaven. And really the church's message is to be with Jesus.
Absolutely.
And that's what death is for us, that great message that we have for the world, right?
Absolutely. And like I say, it whets your appetite, you know, every time. And the other day I was here, I was walking by the chapel there. I was just here for a minute. I had an appointment and had to leave. I wish I could have joined the service. The worship service was going on. The beauty of the morning matin service.
Isn't that awesome?
It is. It just, and the full organ, and it just gives you goosebumps. And just think, that's just a little bit of a foretaste.
We'd really love it if you'd join us on the Bible study this morning. You can call 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk to Mike in St. Louis. He has a question about Jonah and Tarshish.
How you connection. Guys doing?
Good morning, Mike.
Hi. Listen, I hear Reverend Hawkinson's voice all the time on the radio.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
It's
yes, sir.
It's fun, like, actually being able to talk to you in person, at least on the phone.
Well, it's a privilege to talk to you, sir.
Well, thank you. But anyway, that's kind of an exaggeration, but thanks anyway.
No, it isn't. Not at all.
Well, anyway, the way I understood that Tarshish was the farthest place he could go to get away from Nineveh, and he figured if once he got there, there'd be no hope for the Ninevites and that God would destroy him. But, of course, we know the rest of the story, how God spoiled his plan. But that's what I understood. Tarshish was the farthest place he could go.
Yeah. Pastor, you want to comment on that? Pastor
Well,
Joel?
I just remember reading a specific section in the Lutheran Study Bible talking about how Tarshish was probably in Spain. You mentioned a different place. Just that distance, I think. How often do we sympathize with that and say, oh, we want to get as far away from God as possible when he has what his will is for us in our life?
Tarshish is in Spain.
Yeah, that's what the Lutheran Study Bible says, a possibility. And the Hebrew is a little bit ambiguous, it says, as well, and could be a number of other places. But, yeah, I think most people agree Spain.
Okay.
Great.
I'll back off on that.
See you guys later.
Whatever I said there, I don't know.
Oh, I don't. That's good.
What some of the commentators had said there, so.
Yeah. We have one more caller who wants to talk about Tarshish, so let's get Cheryl in to the discussion. Hello, Cheryl. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a question. Was Saul from Tarshish?
Saul, St. Paul?
St. Paul.
No,
he was from a different
place. He was from a different place.
Tarsus.
Oh, okay. Tarsus.
Yep.
It's not Tarshish.
Okay.
It's
All right.
That's very close, though, Cheryl. But not the same place. No,
okay.
Not the same place.
Well,
right.
Is it okay if I comment about first? What was it? Verse 14.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I was thinking verse 8, which God, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever, that reminded me of Hebrews 12, starting with verse 18, or talks about you have come to Mount Zion, and
Oh, this is a beautiful verse.
Yeah, yeah, 18, starting, you've not come to what may be touched, it, contrasting it with Mount Sinai, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable angels and festal gatherings, the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkling of blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And then that reminded me of Revelation 7, and verse 14, they have, who are these? They have, these are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And then in 17, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And that just, that seems like, to me, this psalm is speaking to the church. God is, he is our God, and he will guide us forever.
Yes, there is an everlasting element to this psalm, and you hit the nail on the head there, Cheryl, because we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and that is the new covenant. That's what it's all about, Jeremiah 31, in that new covenant. So the realization of that, that's coming up. I'm looking forward to it. And so, but verse 14 demonstrates the everlasting nature of that psalm.
Yeah, and that other characteristic or title that we often give to Jesus, priest. What does priest mean but to intercede? And that beautiful Hebrews verse, you have come to Jesus, and the sprinkling of blood. Whose blood? The Lamb of God's blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. He's speaking right to his Father, interceding for you, speaking to you in heaven, your name, a good word for you.
Yeah, and all the other blood, the blood of goats or any other kinds of animals, you know, that was all preparatory for the ultimate sacrifice that would be made, the perfect Paschal Lamb of Jesus. So if it weren't for that, I wouldn't be able to go to heaven, you know, and neither would you, Pastor
right.
Steve. But because the perfect Paschal Lamb of God shed his blood, and that because it's already a fact in history. Therefore, we know for sure where we're going to end up.
Great to have you with us, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much.
Let's read 9 to 11 here. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Steadfast love, righteousness,
yeah,
your
that
judgments.
Hebrew word chesed, isn't it? Hebrew, yeah, that the love that keeps on coming, keeps on giving. The gift that continues to provide forgiveness and the assurance of everlasting life right at that time in the temple, the temple sacrifices, the blood there, that the slaughtering of the animals pointing to the ultimate slaughtering of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus, who took the curse of the law for you and me so that we could be in eternity. And that's how we know we will be. Somebody says, well, I don't know, I hope I would have been a good enough person, you know, that if anybody ever made it to heaven, it was Grandma Smith, because she never missed a LWML meeting or whatever, you know, and that's commendable. That's wonderful. But nothing, LWML is a wonderful organization, just as any organization is, but merit, the merit's all in Christ.
Right. This great verse 10. It just connects that to, for me anyway, as your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the end of the earth. What is it but baptism, when God puts that name, that very name, upon our forehead and upon our heart to mark us as one redeemed by Christ the crucified?
Yeah, some people that feel that baptism is a one-time shot. I mean, well, it is. You're baptized once, but it has ongoing results.
Right. That's daily we remember our baptism.
Yeah.
Or that great Lutheran hymn, God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ.
Yeah, be excited about it too, because whoever believes, the scripture says, and is baptized shall be saved. And
what
that's
the
assurance that we have.
Yes. Beautiful assurance. What does he mean here, the psalmist mean, when he says the daughters of Judah rejoice in judgment?
There are a couple of theories about that. These could be surrounding little towns or little areas that are near enough to the city Jerusalem that they could be called daughters of Judah. Others feel that these are actually the women, the daughters of Judah, and they can rejoice because these foreign invaders, whoever they might have been, Moab, the king of Moab, and Ammon, the king of Ammon, for example, the king of Seir, these enemies were not successful. Their plans were thwarted, and in fact, they even had disagreements among themselves, and they were torn apart. So, had the daughters of Judah had to succumb to these foreign invaders, they would have been treated very, very badly, and they would have had to suffer greatly. And so they were spared from any of things that would have been done to them had the invaders been successful in overcoming Israel, which of course they were not. So they were saved in essence, saved for the moment, but ultimately saved for eternity as well.
Yeah, the verses right before that, your right hand is filled with righteousness. And that's Paul right. talks about, Abraham was counted righteous. How is it? By faith, right? It's interesting here. Your right hand, who sits at the right hand?
Yeah, Jesus.
Jesus right. is the righteousness, right?
Right hand of power, too. Right hand, that's there as well.
Oh, so you don't mean he's stuck somewhere? In a specific location, but he has a title of authority.
That's right. Yeah, he's not stuck. He's omnipresent, able to be present everywhere at once, and yet seated at the right hand of God at the same time. That's your God and mine. He's able to do all things.
All things, right.
And that's the amazing part about it.
Let's read the rest of the psalm, and then we'll talk about those verses and the whole thing together. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever. You can join us on the Bible study today. We're studying Psalm 48 with Pastor Mark Hawkinson. Let's go to James in St. Louis. James, good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to have both you pastors graciously take a look at Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 19, and give me your exposition on that. And the reason why I ask, when I read Psalms 48, and especially verses 11 through 14, my moral imagination pictures nationalism, a holy city, exceptionalism, and a positive, exalted Zionism. And so I was wondering if Zechariah 14, verses 16 through 19, speaks of a future holy city exceptionalism, or is it talking about this same kind of past holy city exceptionalism that we're reading today? And I'll hang up and listen. And it's always good to speak with you, Pastor.
Well, thank you. It's good to speak with you as well. Go ahead.
Should I read the text for our listeners?
Yeah, go ahead. That'd be
Zechariah 14, 16 to 19. Then everyone who survives of all the nations that have come against Jerusalem shall go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Booths. And if any of the families of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them. And if the family of Egypt does not go up and present themselves, then on them there shall be no rain. There shall be the plague with which the Lord afflicts the nations that do not go up to keep the Feast of Booths. This shall be the punishment to Egypt and the punishment to all the nations that do not go up to keep the Feast of Booths. Pastor.
Well, yeah, there certainly is a local a time element to this that this refers to this coming time, a time in the future when nations who had initially attacked Jerusalem would go there to worship the Lord. The prophecy, it says in a Lutheran Study Bible, is fulfilled in New Testament times when people of all nations come into God's kingdom. So obviously they were to keep the Feast of Booths. That was what was to happen at that time. But this also refers to the coming day of the Lord when Jesus came. You know, he came into the flesh to assume our sins, take our sins upon himself so that we would not have to take them upon ourselves and so that we would have the assurance of everlasting life. So, fulfilled in New Testament times when people of all nations come into God's kingdom. That's Pentecost, isn't it? Isn't that what's happening at Pentecost? Jesus said, I will draw all men unto myself. And I see that being fulfilled there. So James is right there. There is an eschatological element there to what the prophet Zechariah is talking about. There's a local element, a time element for now, and also what's going to be happening in the future.
I think it's important also to remember when God talks about his nation and he talks about his people, he's speaking of what the Old Testament called Israel,
yes,
his chosen people. But that's not necessarily restricted to specific children of Abraham
right
now.
Right, yeah, because what he was, the real Jew is the one who's been circumcised in the heart, and St. Paul talks about that in Romans. So that's true circumcision, the circumcision of the heart. So you're absolutely correct. He talked about nationalism, the real Israel is made up of all believers in Jesus Christ, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free or Scythian or, you know, it lists mm-hmm. them all in the book of Acts there. All of them are, you know, and just as an example. But each person who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, no matter what their background or ethnicity might happen to be. That's for sure. So
those who he has called unto himself. And I just love the imagery of the text that you mentioned. You know, as Moses lifted the serpent up, the bronze serpent up, so also the Son of Man will be lifted up for all the world to see, and he will draw all men unto himself. Mm-hmm. And so, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That great Psalm verse that I think of when I hear questions or comments like James offered to our show today. The nation whose God is the Lord are the baptized. Are those whom have received the washing of regeneration and renewal, the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah, the invisible church.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what we're talking about here, that all believers in Christ, no matter where they're from or who they are, that's who they are in Jesus Christ.
Right, you started the show talking about individual or invisible pillars. Those might be
citadels.
Angels, citadels. This church, this invisible church, which is monumentous, those who believe, also numbered there. Great, great stuff.
Oh, yeah. And invisible citadels, as you and I mentioned and talked about as well. So all of that to anticipate, and the whole Old Testament pointing to the fulfillment in the new and Jesus returning for his people. I mean, he can't not return because, after all, he has to bring back to himself what he bought. He bought us.
Right.
And so he will be coming back to get what is rightfully his.
Pastor Hawkinson, I'm involved in lots of youth ministry stuff, teaching the faith to young ones. One of the special ministries that I coordinate is youth catechesis. The psalmist here says, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels that you may tell the next generation that this is God. What's he talking about here?
Witnessing. He's talking about testifying. You have good news. You're going to not withhold it. You're going to let it out. And just like my children. And do you have children yourself?
Not yet, no.
Oh, not yet. Well, someday probably you will. It is heartwarming to me to see my daughter. You know, she has her family now, members of the church, and now they're baptized, and we just went to a special vacation Bible school service, and to see them up there, my grandkids, you know,
very
I mean,
cool.
It's just, it's just passed on down, you know, and my parents, for example, giving them credit, because I never missed a Sunday in church because of my father and mother. I remember one time, I'm a sinner, you know, just remember that.
Oh, I am too.
And as a young boy, one Sunday morning, Dad says, how come you're not dressed? And I says, oh, I was just a young boy. I says, I don't want to go to church today. He said, what? He said, what did you say? And I knew when he said, what did you say, I had about 12 seconds to get in the car.
To fix the problem.
So I was in that car. So, I mean, you know, they passed it to me. I pass it down. You'll pass it to your children and grandchildren. And these people at the time of the Psalm were to pass it down to their descendants as well, there's citadels in this God that you and I have, the city of God, and that the city of God consists of that invisible church that you and I were talking about. And God protects his church through word and sacrament ministry. And you mentioned the Augsburg Confession and the people that are willing to stand up. I'm sure that each listener, you know, I feel that each listener tuned in today, if their back were against the wall and they either had to confess Christ or die, they would choose dying, because they know that as soon as they would die, they live anyway. You know, when you die, you live. That's the paradox. So, of course, it's easy for me to say that, but no one knows what they would do when the time came. But hopefully that would be the response.
We even have this worked into our confirmation rite in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Do you hold this confession so dear to yourself that you would even die rather than give it up?
Oh, that's in there.
It is,
good.
Yeah. You mentioned VBS. We also had a whole gamut of confirmations not too long ago. But those very words this is something that's integral to our very being, and the fact that we're not afraid of dying, because what did we say earlier? It's the it's the portal into Jesus' arms.
Sometimes I'm more afraid of living.
Amen.
than I am of dying. You know, sometimes life can be pretty frightening sometimes. Death is the thing about death. It's the unknown. I mean, you know, and I know by faith what happens, but haven't been there. Nobody's come back except Christ. Christ has come back to tell us. And that's good enough for me.
Exactly.
For sure.
So we talked a little bit about the towers, the ramparts, the means of grace. Talk a little bit, as we have only about 2.5 minutes left, this forever and ever. He'll guide us forever.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit of Pentecost. The Holy Trinity, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons in one divine essence, one God. And the Spirit, through the Word, will keep us close. You know, the scripture, it says in James, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Well, the Holy Spirit works and draws you up close to the Almighty, and that continues. That continues for you, it continues for me, it continues for your children, it continues for my children, it continues for their children, then on down ad infinitum, down through the generations. You can go to the cemeteries and you can see all the generations of your family. We did that. It's really interesting, you know, see the names, it goes way back to the 1800s and wow, you know, but those people are not there in the grave. That's just, you know, they're not there.
There's a really cool thing. Dr. Alvin Schmidt was presenting just a few days ago, and he said, you know, we always drive past a cemetery and we don't realize what that word cemetery means. But if you go back into the root of what that word is, it means sleeping.
Yeah, very interesting.
This is the yard in which everyone is sleeping.
Yeah, so.
We've been talking to Pastor Mark Hawkinson today, studying Psalm 48 on the Bible study. We appreciate you joining us today. Next up on Worldwide KFUO is Faith and Family with your host, Andy Bates. Tomorrow, we're going to be studying Psalm 49. Why should I fear in times of trouble?
Well, why should you? That's a good question.
And times of trouble are going to come, right?
They will come. And if they don't, sooner or later, there'll be some trouble. Yeah. But you can get through any trouble through Christ and through his power and strength every day.
Great to have you with us on the Bible study today.
Pastor Steve, great to work with you today as well.
Great to have you in studio and to get to meet you.
Same here. Appreciate it.
Have a great day. God bless.
Same to you.
Listen to the Bible study Monday through Friday at this time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study programs at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.